fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue today to talk about a theme I took up yesterday, talking about the Feast of Corpus Christi, which we celebrated on Sunday. Boy, it's been a run of tremendous feasts and solemnities and celebrations, from the Triduum to the celebration of Easter and Jesus' resurrection, the celebration of the ascension of our Lord to the right hand of the Father, the Feast of Pentecost. And now we're looking at the solemnity of Corpus Christi. This is the church remembers and receives and celebrates the astounding miracle, the greatest gift the Lord has left us in the church. The greatest sacrament is the Eucharist. Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity given to us to feed us. Just as God gave manna in the desert when the people of Israel were wandering through the desert. Friends, we're pilgrims, you and I. We're wandering in a desert here, the people of God. We're on our pilgrimage home to the Lord, to our Father. This is not our home. Life here is short. It's a passing shadow. The world we live in, this world that we see, is going to pass away. And the King is going to come and bring really a new heaven and a new earth upon which we will live with him forever. But now we're on a journey, each one of us. We're pilgrims. Like Abraham was a nomad of faith, we're nomads of faith. We live not by what we see, but by what we don't see. Not what is seen, but what is unseen. We live by faith. On the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we understand what human history is all about, why we're here, our purpose. And each of us has just a brief time here on earth. We're put here by God. We're made in the image and likeness of God. By Jesus' coming in the flesh and his dying on the cross and shedding of his blood for us, what we see is that we were born for God, that we are made by God, and that God loves us because God made us, and because God values us and loves us. Our Maker, our Creator, each one of us is infinitely valuable. Think of it, friends. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, took on human flesh to save you, to save me, to bring us out of sin and into freedom and life, the freedom and life that belongs to him. Why? Because he knows how much the Father loves us. He sees us in a way we don't see ourselves. He knows the glory, the majesty of our destiny. He knows the wonder and the beauty and literally the glory and the power of our identity. We see our identity in Jesus. He comes because he knows on this earth all that God created was good, but what the Father's heart is really set on are those that are made in the image and likeness of his Son Jesus. Trapped in sin, separated from God. And love moves the heart of the Father, love for you and for me, to come and draw us out, to raise us up, to bring us home. So Jesus came and made it possible for us through repentance, baptism, to enter into the new people of God. Just as the people of Israel wandered in the desert, following the Lord's command, having begun with Abraham, the one that Scripture says God was not able to call him Abraham his friend. Why? Because Abraham trusted God. Abraham put all of his eggs in God's basket, all of them. He leaned on God in such a way that if God wasn't there, if God was just a figment of his imagination, he would have fallen flat on his face. He bet everything on God and on God's promise. And it's on that faith and trust in God that the people of Israel come forward. They're built upon that faith. And God said, I will give you a land. And they wandered and they followed the Lord's command to pursue this land of promise. We are wanderers, friends. We too are people of faith. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for us and is risen from the dead. And now he, the firstborn, the head of a new race of people, Jesus Christ himself, our head, our leader, our Lord, is already home at the right hand of the Father, and one heart at a time, he's bringing home, one person at a time, all those who are marked by the precious blood of his sacrifice that makes us clean. Everyone who says yes to him and receives his offering is marked and set apart, has been given a new identity, is literally has become a son and daughter of God. So now in this journey, in this pilgrimage, we're in a fallen and broken world. We try to make this our home, but it's not our home. The saints are the most powerful witnesses for us because their hearts and minds were completely set in heaven, but their feet were solidly on the ground. They walked lightly in this world. They loved the world in the sense of desire to honor God's creation and to join Jesus in the pursuit of saving souls. But their hearts were with their King. Their hearts were with the Lord. And they understood. They understood what we read yesterday. We're talking from Hebrews chapter 9, some of the key verses from that chapter that were so important to help us understand the gift of the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ given to us in the Eucharist. There we're united with the one-time sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the salvation of the world. Verse 25, verse 9 says, "Nor Jesus did not come to offer himself again and again. He came to offer himself once. He came to die. Jesus came to die to destroy sin and destroy death and to restore us to life." Verse 26, "But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself." Think about that. Why did Jesus come? Here's a wonderful little summary. He came to remove sin. That was his mission. To remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why? Because sin separates us from God. Because sin destroys us. Because sin enslaves us. Literally, if we're dead in sin, as St. Paul says, we are literally without hope in the world. Our only hope, friends, the only true hope, and the only real joy and fulfillment ultimately in this world is for us to be able to be united to the one who made us. The whole reason we exist is to exist and live in the presence of our Father, to be sons and daughters of God who share in his superabundant life and live in his love and his joy, in his reality. Sin literally separates us from that reality, and we get only glimpses of it now. But those glimpses are enough. And we see that love poured out in the sacrament of the Eucharist, which, as I said yesterday, is the representation of that one act of love on Calvary by which we are saved. Jesus puts us in touch, literally can do it every day, friends, to touch that, the moment of our salvation. God makes it present again and again across the earth so that human beings can feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be fed, to be united with him, and to be united with the brethren around the world who are communing together, who are coming forward or coming out of the world, stepping into the presence of God, being able to touch by a miracle of God's grace the holy place. With the eyes of faith, if we could just see, many of the saints saw it so clearly. Let's pray and ask the Lord that we could have the gift to see, because things can sometimes at Mass seem so ordinary, because Jesus uses ordinary signs of bread and wine and ordinary people and an ordinary priest, but something absolutely astounding, mind-boggling is happening there. The priest is made, stands in the person of Christ, and by the mercy of God and the miracle of the Holy Spirit, that bread and wine become the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the deed of Calvary, the covenant-making sacrifice. In the Old Testament, covenant was made in blood when the commandments were given, and the people of God were bound together in that covenant through the sacrifice and the commandments that brought them together. Now here, that all foreshadowed and was pointing toward what God really wanted, not just to gather us around a tablet of 10 commandments, but to gather us around the heart of his son, Jesus Christ, who's the fulfillment of all of it. He's the one who gives to the Father everything that belongs to the Father. He's the faithful Son. And we identify with him. We say, yes, Father, we see what you see, the precious, faithful, beautiful, glorious sacrifice of your beloved Son. Oh, how faithful he is. How wonderful, how beautiful a Son he is. And all of your inheritance, Father, belongs to him. And Jesus turns to us, the young prince of the universe, the King of glory turns to us and said, come with me. Come in and hear it. I want to share with you my kingdom. You must say yes to me. And that's what happens at Mass, friends. We see a glimpse of this glory, and then we're offered a participation to literally touch that glory and that majesty as we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as sinful, broken people, we're cleansed and made pure, and we're united by the love of God. And in that moment, we're touching heaven. In that moment, that's why the church says, you know, the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. It's the source of our faith because our faith is born by, it's a gift of God, first of all. And it's a gift of God to be united to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of salvation. It flows from his inner being. He's the one, the firstborn of this new race of people. All of us who are going to live and pass from death to life and enter eternal life, that's possible because we're united to Christ, who's the source of that eternal life. He took on that human flesh so that we who live in human flesh, who are fallen, could be raised and we could be glorified and share in the glory that belongs to him. The source and the summit of our faith, it's the summit because there we're touching the banquet of the Lamb, the anticipation of what will come when Jesus comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. He will establish his kingdom. He will be the light of the kingdom. He will be our food and our life. And now here on earth in the Eucharist, we experience a foretaste. Literally, we're already touching. We're touching that holy, beautiful, awesome reality, which is the kingdom of God. It's the summit of our faith, friends, because it's the body of Christ here on earth, united to the body of Christ in heaven, and those who are being purified in purgatory, united into one body in Christ. It's a reality that already exists. He's the head and we're the body. And as the soul fills the body, so does his spirit fill our body. As the blood flows through the body, so does the blood of Jesus Christ flow through our hearts to unite us. One bread, one body. We all eat of the same bread. We all eat of the same lamb, the sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And in that communion together, friends, we become one people. This is what the Father wants, a family, his family, established in the covenant blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's who we are. That's our identity. That's our destiny. Blessed be God. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the Church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.